good screenplay, film editing, and visual effects. Oh, okay. So, an education. Whenever y'all rent it, please tell me. Because my dumbass, I rented it, and then I was like, oh, crap, I have to finish it. So I was watching my lunch break, and I thought if I had started it before my time was up, I would still be able to watch it. Nope. It cut off right at the minute. And I was like, I have 10 minutes left of this movie.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, I don't want to rent it again for 10 minutes.
That's so funny.
What accounts do you have? Do you have the Prime? Do you have... Are you logged into my Prime?
I don't think so, because I have this new TV that I won.
Oh, that's right.
So probably not. But just whatever. I just watch. I need 10 minutes. That's all I need.
If you don't get it from Joy, I'll definitely get it on my Apple. So you have it there.
I'm trying to be productive, and I'm like, oh, no, because it was around the same day that it was my last day at work, and I had to, last paperwork to get done. And I was like, oh, my God, I need to watch this movie. And then it stopped. I was like, okay, well. Anyways, so
that's such a personal thing to do.
From my experience, as long as you start it within the 48 hours,
yeah, that's what I've seen before.
Until the end of the movie.
That's what I thought too.
Where did you rent it from?
Google Movies or something. So maybe that's why. Maybe Google Movies has the cut off at the minute. Because I could have sworn I've done that before, and it let me finish the movie. Because I had already been watching it for, 20 minutes before my time was up. So I didn't just log in. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe it's because you started and stopped it and then came back to it?
Maybe.
Because I've started a film. With, the movie's 2.5 hours, and I start it with 1 hour and 50 minutes left, and I still can finish the movie.
Right.
So maybe because you stopped it and came back.
That's still dumb, but yes, you're probably right.
It is dumb.
That is dumb, because if you paid for it, you should have the 48 hours to watch it. Because I did that with The Blind Side. I broke it up into two, and when I went back to it, it was fine. It was still, within a day, and it was in the middle, and it kept going.
I'm thinking it's just Google Movies, so I won't rent from there anymore, because it was either Google Movies or Fandango, and I was like, I should have stopped Fandango, but whatever. Mm, now I know.
Oh, well, we know for next time. So, hello, everyone. Welcome back to We Have Thoughts. I sound like a robot. This is a podcast about movies. I'm Joy.
I'm Anna.
And I'm Crystal.
I love when we start with me, because then I'm not confused about the order. Oh, we're back with our Oscar rewatch series, where we're making our way downtown through the Oscar history and talking all about the Best Picture nominees. We're looking back at the 2010 nominees today, and we are talking about District 9. Violence ensues after an extraterrestrial race forced to live in slum-like conditions on Earth finds a kindred spirit in a government agent exposed to their biotechnology. It was nominated for Best Picture, Adapted Screenplay, and Visual Effects. It is District 9. Typed that out all wrong. Anyways, my friends, here we are once again trying to catch our breath because I'm an idiot and I'm very tired. What the fuck did we think of this movie?
A for effort, babes.
Yeah, oh, God. I'm running on half a brain cell.
D in execution.
Oh my God. If you could if the people could see me on video, my fucking eye is twitching. I'm falling apart. I can't. I can't, but you know what? I tried. I read what I wrote down, and I just wrote it down incorrectly.
I
kind of
miss this. I haven't laughed at your pain in quite some time. It feels
God, I know. Every time I get up off the couch, you would be like, ha! So, less about my pain, more about this person's pain. What did we think of District 9?
I thought it was fantastic.
This was my first time seeing it.
Okay.
Oh.
Had you seen it before, Joy?
Yes.
Okay. Me too.
And I know you guys had both, like, raved about it before, so I went in with high expectations.
Yikes.
I liked it. I wasn't as wowed by it as I wanted to be. I enjoyed it. I loved the pacing of the beginning. Like, you're just thrown in, and I loved, like, they give you just enough to understand what's happening and nothing else, because you don't need anything else. Mm-hmm. I liked the design of the creature and the design of the world. I thought that was of their, like, habitat. I thought, you know, set decoration was great. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I just didn't love it.
You know what was interesting watching it this time around? I loved it originally when I saw it. I love a good sci-fi story, and tying it in the way they did with, like, the humans and the people was really interesting. And of course, it's like there's a lot of, like, self-reflection about, like, colonialism and blah, 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 and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But this time around, I was like, I don't know if it's just me, just being me, but I was, like, really emotional about it. Like, it felt so, like the dad, yeah, and his son, like, that shit was sad when, like, the ship is, like, flying away, and he knows his, like, son is up on the ship, and then it gets, like, shot down. Like, that shit was sad. And then, like,
his partner in the beginning too.
Yeah, I know. Oh my God. So the whole thing was, like, very, I felt, like, very, maybe because I'm watching it for a second time, I was like, feel very connected to these characters. I feel like, you know, I've invested in them, even though this movie isn't, you know, that long. Like, they've done a good job of establishing those characters. And especially with, like, they're not, like, I don't, like, they're not saying a whole lot, but, like, or they don't get a lot of screen time in the beginning before you, like you said, jump into it. But I was like, oh my God, I'm, like, really moved by this. Like, so I don't know if it was just me, but I had a very emotional reaction to this. And I was like, I think I love it even more now. It's, like, so beautiful.
Yeah, I agree. When I watched it the first time many years ago, I remember liking it, but not being able to identify why exactly, because I didn't have enough of the verbiage of film to really express that feeling as much as I could have or was able to. And so watching it again, the pacing is so fantastic. Mm-hmm. And like Anna said, like, the way that they give you what you need to know, but not it's not muddled. The script is so tight. We talked about this several times with other things. Like, we love a tight script. It gives what we need and nothing else. You cut the fat, beautiful. Like, it's this story of, like, it's so simple yet so moving. And I think it lends itself. I was maybe a little bit not as emotional as you, Joy, but I did feel a little sad when I thought about all of the current world events, mm-hmm, now and how.
Yeah.
I think that painted a picture for me when it comes to this, because I understood that was sad back then, but I felt it this time. And I think that it's such a fantastic movie, and I'm really glad we got to watch it again so I could, like, pinpoint what it was that I liked and what it is that I enjoyed about it the first time around.
And I think a big reason why that felt so prevalent, and that was, you know, it's hard to ignore the backdrop of what's going on today, is because this was modeled after the real District 6 in Cape Town, South Africa. It was a mixed race neighborhood in Cape Town, which the apartheid government had demolished for white residents. So, like, it does mirror what really happened, and it does mirror what's happening today. And yeah, that definitely was a knife to the gut, kind of twisting the entire movie. But kind of back to the beginning real quick, to me, it felt like early, like season one, series one, series two of Doctor Who with Russell T. Davies writing. Like, you kind of jump in, stuff's going on, and then the doctor's like, okay, what's happening?
Yeah, okay, very, I get that. Yeah.
It felt like that. And then it, you know, took off and became a different thing. But at the first, I was like, this feels like Christopher Eccleston's, like, Ninth Doctor kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
I was into it.
You know, it's interesting, too. part of, you know, the current events that made me watch this movie differently. Whenever, what's his name, Christopher? Is that what they named him?
Mm-hmm.
Christopher mm-hmm. and his son, like, all they're just saying, like, oh, we just want to get home. We just want to get home. We're here for mm-hmm. a little bit, and we just want to get home. And I'm like, so many people just want to go back to their homes and stay there and be, like, it was a lot. I think, had I not, because I was watching Living Room, and it was the middle of the day, and then every now and then someone would pop in around the corner and, like, look. And by the time the movie was, like, last, like, 15 minutes, Ariana and Eric were there. Eric's friends were here watching, and they were like, what is the movie? I was like, shh, shh, everybody shut up. riveted. But, yeah, it was, like you said, the emotional strain made it much more. And, like, Anna, you said about how, like, this real-life Cape Town, I go back to so many things that's happened in America, but, like, specifically the one about Central Park. When mm-hmm. I learned about Seneca Village, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, so many... every day a new historical horror
yeah,
in America.
Literally.
Yeah.
The world.
But the world, yeah. The world.
I definitely feel like James Cameron should have taken note about a simple alien story and conveying it in an alien setting, because yes. this I feel like did a much better job, and maybe because it was set on Earth, like, it was a bit easier, but I just felt like, oh, this was the better Alien movie.
Oh yeah, by far. And it's not like this, it's interesting because this one is not complex, it's simple as well, but it's just told so much better. Like I said, the fat is cut, and so it feels so tight and strong. And I feel like people who adore Avatar, like, are worshiping and wanting to learn, like, Na'vi or whatever, that's what they think. District 9, they think it's that good. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not. District is so much better. So much better. It's not even a comparison to me. Like, it's a so much better film.
Yeah, I think it's good evidence of how, like, you can have a simple story, but just tell it in an engaging way. If you have to add an emotional component to it, if you have to add, like, a technological component to it, whatever it is, like, futuristic, because this isn't exactly like now, it's in the near future, which is the same thing for, like, Avatar. So it is possible. I think you just have to, like, I don't know, maybe just better writing, I'm not sure. But that seems kind of like a key, the big key there. Because, like, if your story and your plot is not, like, strong enough to hold up everything else, it just doesn't work.
Also, it's much more interesting because the way they approach giving us, like, deposition is, like, the faux documentary approach. So smart.
Right.
Because that way it doesn't feel like, I feel like you're watching the news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The way to approach that storytelling was so genius.
Yeah, it was really good. And it was, like, right around the time where, like, all of these were coming out and they were, like, really popular and stuff. But I think it did a good job of, like, doing that in, like, a fresh way. In a way that is still, like, relevant, like, so many years on. It's still good. And it still holds up. I just want to talk about how...
purpose.
Yes, yeah. It wasn't just like, oh, like a
gimmick.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it there was reasons for it. I think the performances were, like, incredible. And of course, because it's like a sci-fi thing, like no one, same way Zoe Saldana wasn't, you know, priced for her Avatar performance. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Chartol?
Copley?
Copley is how you say the last name, I believe. Chartol Copley?
But he's fantastic, and I've seen him in like a bunch of other stuff, but this was the first place that I had ever seen him, and I was just like, oh my God. Acting
experience.
What? Really?
He was not an actor. I believe Neil Blomkamp like asked him to be a part of it or something like that, but this was his first foray into acting.
I did not know that.
Well, yeah. It's amazing. Fabulous. Like,
what a discovery.
He did such a good job. And like the characters he's played in like other stuff have been so different from this. Which is so great that he has that kind of like range. But I think he did so good in this, in like the fight, the back and forth of like, you know, wanting to be saved and wanting to stay human, and then just like fighting like what's happening to his body. It was just so well done. And to see that like character arc of him going from like hating them and like not respecting them to like having to be one of the aliens is just so interesting to me.
Yeah, because you said it's his first film, right, Anna?
Yeah.
Because this movie is based off Neil Blomkamp's short film, Alive in right. Joburg, I believe. Which, side note, I think they should take more feature films from short films, because some of those are really good, and some of them weren't longer storytelling, and I think Hollywood needs to stop looking. I know they don't make, it's impossible to tell that they make money, and Hollywood is a business ultimately, but I think they need to be looking at short films and maybe adapt those into features, or even like feature documentaries, because sometimes these people, these stories, these directors are so interesting. Like, this is a perfect example of that. he was also in the Chateau Couple. He's also in the short as well.
Oh,
yeah. I think it was. He had asked. I forget. I read it somewhere.
That's so cool. I
did not know that was him in Monkey Man.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I was wondering when I saw him recently, and I was like, oh yeah, that one.
The South African accent is, I don't know if I said it right, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting to me. I don't know how to, it kind of sounds like New Zealand, but not. I don't know, I just like want to hear, like some family friend of ours was married to someone from South Africa, and we got to meet him at this party, and I was like, wow, like I don't know what it is about it, but it's just so interesting. Like, I just want to hear him talk all day.
It's like, sounds...
from South Africa. It's like very like high pitched. Maybe that was just that guy. I don't know.
It sounds like Australian, but it also sounds like like Scandinavian almost. It's like getting bits of like Swedish and Finnish in those in what they were saying, and like some South of Africa, the like
there are a lot of white people down there.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. That might make sense.
So very, very, very interesting. Very interesting accent.
Okay, I found it. He had not acted before and had no intention of pursuing an acting career. He stumbled into the leading role as director Neil Blomkamp placed him on camera during the short film, because he was just an uncredited sniper in the short film.
Wow.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What a find.
Right?
Yeah, for real.
Also,
his inexperience of acting lends itself well to the whole documentary feel of it. You know, mm-hmm. he's talking to camera, so it's probably like, don't think about it, don't act, just be, you know? Love it.
Especially because his character is such like a kind of a doofus at the beginning.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
He's only there because of his wife's father. Like, his father-in-law is the only reason he's there. But yeah, I also, on the trivia, I saw that they made the alien language by rubbing pumpkins together. That's how they got that clicking, like, sound.
Really?
Oh my gosh. I love learning things like that. That's
right?
So cool. That's so inventive. That's so, like, these
people
different,
are so inventive.
I honestly, like, we know this already, but, like, the other crafts within making a movie, they just do not get enough props. Like, literally, like, hair and makeup, like, sound design, like, set design. They just do not get enough recognition for what they do and, like, what they're able to accomplish. Like, they're just making up new stuff, especially in, like, sci-fi things like this. Like, how the fuck do you get these, like... Rub it. Well, what if that to rub two pumpkins together? Like, what
the how artistry
does that even how it's, does that happen? That's incredible. It's incredibly creative.
It's reading things like this and then watching that video I showed Crystal of how they made the voice for Treebeard in Lord of the Rings.
Oh yeah.
That makes me feel bad for how we've been like, I don't really know anything about sound design. Yeah. And it's true. Like, I don't know enough to be like, yeah, that deserved the nomination, that deserved the win. But it makes me like be like, I should probably read into this a bit more.
And that's not just
I should
us,
be a like, little bit more educated.
There's an overall disrespect for the sound department because they squished the two categories into one.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and just because we don't understand doesn't mean it's not important. And you know, I have not been as good as I should have been about, you know, looking up what the sound is and how what this means that, blah blah blah. Like it's an art form that I don't fully understand. And that's definitely on me.
No, yeah. And I think, like, you know, with doing this, we kind of learn a little bit more about other stuff and other aspects of the films. And just how to see it differently. And I think that, like, as we're going along, we can appreciate it a little bit more. Because we, you know, we watch so many different movies. And it's you know, it's easier to know about it, like, once you're comparing and, like, researching it and stuff.
Also, in the same vein, like, the makeup department. The way he looked when all those things were coming out of him, like, disgusting.
Fantastic. I made a note about it that this is, like, the ultimate body horror movie. I do not like body horror stuff. And, like, I was literally, like, my skin was crawling. I was like, oh, my God.
His teeth were falling out. I thought I was going to faint on the couch.
If I unwrapped my arm and it just was, like, a claw, I would literally just, like,
No, God, what did it for me was the nail.
Yeah.
I need to go all off, too. Like, not even just one.
As a prior nail biter and, like, skin picker, Black Swan when she pulls the skin, like, that's that was my biggest nightmare. So seeing that was gross. And while this had some great body horror, I don't think it's the ultimate body horror.
I do not watch those kinds of movies.
She said it was the ultimate.
For me, because I'm not a horror bitch, scary bitch movie thing person. So this is about as far as I'll go. This grosses me out enough. I'm okay. I can't remember. There's something that I watched that like really freaked me out, but I genuinely think I blocked it out that I don't remember what it was. But I think it's something I watched as like a teenager, and I was like, I hate bodies. Wow, I hate my body. I can't watch this. It freaked me out. I don't remember what it is because I genuinely think I was like so freaked out. I was like, well, I never ever ever want to think about this again. But if it ever comes back up, I'll let you know. But no, thank you. Ugh.
I don't mind body horror if it's done in service of the story.
Right. Like with this, like obviously, like it needed to be there. Yeah. So I really appreciate it as like a plot point, as like a story, something to move the story forward. I think it's necessary. I think body horror for the sake of body horror, fine, whatever. It's not your thing, cool. But like I respect something if it's part of the story. If it services the story. I'm down with it, whatever. As weird and as creepy as it may be.
I don't like it because when I see things like on screen that are harmful, I feel the pain. So all of a sudden, like I see someone's knee snap and then my knee hurts. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when the nails were coming off, I was like, I talked about teeth falling out of my mouth and how that's like a fear of mine. So that's my thing. I don't like it because then I don't want to feel that pain.
I felt that. My niece felt it in Black Swan, actually, back to Black Swan, when, like, her legs go, ugh.
I screamed.
Oh my gosh. The scream I scrummed.
The one that got me when I was younger was in, oh my gosh, Paul Walker, Lily Sobieski.
Joyride,
thank you. When he's nailed to the fence and he's got like that, he's got it. I thought you had.
I just know Steve Zahn.
Steve Zahn has a nail through the thigh, and that one affected me hardcore. That whole movie fucked me up because it's about like a guy driving an 18-wheeler, like a big truck, and you never like see him. My grandfather drove one of those trucks, and I was just like,
I've actually stepped on a nail before. Like it went through my shoe into my foot.
Ooh.
I've had an attack, but not a.
I was jumping. Okay. I don't know how old I was. I was a child. And I was like, I'm going to run away because I can't say it anymore. So I packed a bag and I opened my window. I jump out the window.
No.
And audience, if you don't know, my obviously you wouldn't know. I've been going through this already. My dad is a handyman, he'd fix things around the house. He's not the cleanest person, though, so he just kind of would leave things everywhere. Well, when I jumped out the window, I didn't know there was a piece of wood with a nail. That wasn't over for safety. It was flipped up where the nail was to the sky, pointing to Jesus, if you will. So I jumped.
You got it so far.
And exactly. And then, here, this is the kicker, right? So I was like, oh, my God, this is what I get for leaving the house. I'm being punished. God is punishing me.
This oh, is no.
So then I go to the front, bawling. The female parental unit is like,
No.
So I was in pain in so many different ways in, like, a short amount of time.
So oh, my God. I'm so sorry. That's so hard. That's so awful.
Anyways, District 9. When I, when I was looking up, we see these movies, I look up like on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, Tumblr sometimes to find like pictures for gifts or whatever. And every time I typed in District 9, always came up with Hunger Games stuff. Every time.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
I could see that.
What was I gonna say? One of the sadder parts was like when they're in the what do you call that? The experimenting science place.
Mm-hmm. The lab.
So I have no
the lab.
The lab. Right? Thank you. I'm so
the science hall.
And they're searching for the tube of the fuel or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Christopher sees his friend on the medical table.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Bitch,
I cried. That shit was so sad. That shit was so sad.
Also, because the
camera
does
this movie so sad?
Well, we know why. The camera does a real good job of, like, focusing. They frame Christopher, like, they shoot him the same way they would shoot a human. So then we feel his emotions when we see the close-up of his eyes, his sad eyes, or his worry when he can't find his son. Like, that's genius. Like, Neil Blomkamp, also, this is his feature film debut as well. Wow. What an introduction.
Wow.
Like, talent. Can you imagine making your first movie and getting Oscar nomination? That's
best
wild.
Best picture, man. That's insane.
Wild.
It's so good. And I was like, I was so invested in Christopher and his son. And like, when towards the end where they're like chasing to try to get to the ship and they're like protecting each other. And like, Christopher's like backing him up. And then like, I forgot the guy's name, whatever. They're like,
Wilkins
really
or
like,
something? I forgot.
Yeah, they like really got to like partnership level. It was so like so endearing to see.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I think the best sci-fi films are the ones that are like, you know, can have like a human component to it, which is funny because it's about aliens.
No, but, like, that's it though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like in this, they were people too. Like, they had lives, they had families, you know? Like, it's so easy for the world to, like, dehumanize anyone labeled other. But this is, like, such a nice way to, like, marry the two.
Yeah.
And just, I love a good sci-fi film has to have, like, an emotional stake to it. Like, it has to. Otherwise, it's just, like, boom, boom, fun, whatever. Which can also be great. But, like, this just elevates it. It just brings it up to a different level.
Especially because, like, alien films are usually, the aliens are the enemy. The scary people.
Yeah.
The humans are the heroes. But in this, the humans are the terrible people. They relegate them to the slums. You know, they're, like, I guess they can't really make money, so they're always in poverty. Like, they're just kind of, like, which I feel is very, that, like, that would actually happen. Like, come to this planet, and we'll treat you like trash.
Yeah, right. And then we'll be mad at you.
Yeah, like, Western empires do that exactly. To people now.
Yeah.
Like, I was, like, watching this again, I was, like, yeah, this would actually, like, if this aliens came, this is what would happen. Yeah. I'm, like, oh,
who sneezed?
Could you hear that? Sorry.
Yeah.
Ariana, okay, so Ariana sneezed, right? And then my mom's watching the Mavs game because they're in the playoffs, and she's like screaming. So I hear it go.
I can't hear the screaming, but I definitely heard the sneeze. Ariana
was right at my door, but mom's like, "That's really funny."
That's funny. What you were saying. I think sci-fi films are better when they're deeply human.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And this and Avatar were the first sci-fi films nominated for Best Picture since E.T. in 1982.
No way.
Isn't that crazy? But think about how deeply human that movie is. Think about how deeply human Arrival is.
Yes. Like,
yeah, because E.T. is basically like a boy and his dog story. And those always get, no matter who you are moved by those movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it tugs at, oh my God. I hadn't watched E.T. for many, many years. And I watched it as an adult. And watching it as an adult, oh man, like I could not stop crying. It was so
I haven't seen it as an adult.
Oh my God. I'm gonna wow. Yeah, it's gonna win. Okay, bye.
I love that we're all emotional wrecks. This makes me so happy.
Emotional messes.
Also, yeah, another thing, how, you know, humans would treat the aliens like trash, like them eating their body parts to cure diseases, them thinking that, like, we need to use them for our benefit, like, yeah, again, that's
exploitation.
I would say America, but it's also the world as well.
It's very, like, imperialist American Western ideals, like, just imperialism all over.
I mean, yeah. But honestly, if that happened, we would have blown them out of the sky.
True.
I mean, if it was up to America, for sure. Like, 100%.
That's what's interesting, too. Like, we're so, at least I am, so used to seeing alien stories set in, like, they land in New York, and they land in, you know, and like, this is, like, in a country I don't know much about. So to have them land in this country that's, you know, not spoken of as much, you know, very interesting. So smart.
Yeah. This and Chappie, Neil Blomkamp filmed in his hometown. He took it home.
Left that.
Oh, have you guys seen Chappie?
I have not, actually.
I have not, even though it has my husband in it, correct?
Dev Patel.
Yes. Yes.
I've seen Elysium, which is fantastic. I think
Elysium is so good.
Yeah.
Matt Damon. Matt Damon, right?
Yeah,
Matt Damon, and somebody else in there.
Diego Luna.
Yes, my love, Diego Luna. It's him. Yeah, Chappie's good too. It's in a similar vein as this, but it's really. I remember it being good. I only ever saw it when it first came out, but I love Dev Patel, so I'm assuming it's good.
That makes much more sense now that I know who this guy is. That Chappie has homegirl from Diane Ward in it.
Yeah, that band that I forgot about.
The what?
I think you're freaky and I like you a lot. That's all I know of them. Diane Ward? I believe is their name.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm so sorry.
I'll have to find the song and send you the song.
How is Anna knowing about music and I not? Oh my God, I'm so rusty.
Her name is Yolandi Visser. And his name is Ninja.
She had a very, like, 2010s, very 2010s look. Like, very 2010s. She looks very of the time. At least in those years.
I think
you're freaky and I like you. That music video has stayed in my, like, I remember that.
I am very unaware of this. Okay, thank you.
We'll have to show you afterwards.
Please do.
But do I have any other notes?
I haven't seen. So bringing up Neil Blomkamp. He also directed a movie that came out not long ago called Gran Turismo, which I heard was really good. It looks very much like a sports movie I don't care about, but every review I read, it was a positive one. So maybe I'll check that out.
Really? Is it a car movie? It's a vroom vroom movie?
Yeah, it's got David Harbour and...
Oh, yeah! Never have I ever.
I forgot his name.
Orlando Paxton. Bloom.
Oh, that is Orlando Bloom. You're right.
Yeah.
I heard that was good. Yeah, I've never seen it, obviously, but... I heard good
I wanted to see it. I think I missed it in theaters, because I love a good vroom vroom movie.
Vroom vroom!
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have one note left that I don't remember the exact moment, but I'm pretty sure it's early on in the film. Deeply important note, though. It says, he yeeted that pig.
First of all, I love the use of the word. Second of all,
oh my God.
It was like I think it might have been Christopher you're talking about, maybe?
No, it was, what's his name? When they were training him, his arm to use in the lab, to use the stuff in the lab, right?
Right,
and
right,
the pig was hanging.
Was it? Or was it during, because there was also pig stuff during the raid, so.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it was one of those two scenes.
Yeah.
It was like pigs flew in this movie.
They did.
Yeah. I have a note here that says, cutting the footage of him being nice to everyone with the people saying, how could he do this? What?
Yes, how they edited the footage of him, like, being, like, a sweet, nice guy, and then everyone was like, oh, how could he do this? Oh, like, okay. Such a horrible person.
Wilbur, whatever. What was his name? Wilkins? I'm sorry, not Wilbur.
Wilkins?
No, it's,
We just saw this movie.
Sorry, audience. I saw this movie, like, 2 weeks ago, so I don't really remember everything.
Yeah, it was a minute. Wickes.
Vandermeer.
No,
Vandermeer.
You're wrong. It's
Wickes. I was trying to think of the last name. It was Vandermeer. Wickes Vandermeer.
Vandermeer.
I also read that like that was also a very popular name in South Africa, but it was often associated with kind of the bumbling kind of fool.
Again, the layers.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
We love when a movie is done smartly.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I wrote another one. I may have crapped in my pants. Surprise!
Oh. That's what? When he comes to the surprise party.
And
And he's like, I just need to go to the bathroom. I'm sick. Oh, and she's like, right. Surprise!
Oh my God. What a situation to be in. Like, in the middle of all of that. Oh,
also,
that's
contributes to this movie of the fast pace is it only happened within a couple of days because I think they say he starts turning into like what 2 weeks or something.
I think it's I think it's like a week or two.
Yeah, it was, yeah, again, it was smart. At least a week. Yeah,
so good. I wrote pain threshold test. Oh my God,
you could really tell they did such a good job in the filming. And the acting of it and like just in the general environment of like how non-consensual the whole thing was of him like testing everything out. He was just so like, oh my God, with everything in him, he just really did not want to do that. And they're forcing him to do all of these things. And they were so like clinical about it. Mm-hmm. The contrast of that was just so, that was a little bit hard to watch. I will admit like that was, ugh.
Yeah. That was
it was that part of it was so visceral.
Yeah. Agreed. I wrote Christopher is a real one. And then I wrote makeup department with a bunch of exclamation points. And that's it. That's all my notes. Joy.
What else do I got? What else do I got? No, that's it. I think my last note is just I love the alien engineer character and his little baby.
I love a good
parent-child story. I think it's so cute.
And then it was a dad, so that's nice. Usually the mom that's like, my children. Ah, you know.
I know.
We assume Christopher was a male.
Good yeah. point.
Alien.
That's a good point.
Aliens might not ascribe to the gender binary like the Western world does.
And also, Christopher is a name that us humans gave him. So, like, he could be called...
Exactly.
For all we know.
And we don't know what his partner was clicking. Either.
Exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
You're right. This is a good point. His other... Well, and then maybe like there are species that only needs, like, one person to procreate or something. I don't know.
Amazing.
It could literally be anything.
Agender reproductive aliens. This is so cool. Another thing
too about this movie being so well made is that it leaves us with so many questions because then we want more. Like, I want to know about Christopher's race. What planet is that they're from? Is it called? Like, why 3 years? Like, or like, what is he going to do in those 3 years? I think not making a sequel is so smart as well. And I'm really glad they never did, because had this been made now, you can totally tell they would like milk that forever, you know. But I love that it leaves on Wilkins like making the metal flower, you know, so us as the audience knows that it's him when he's in full garb, you know. And that's again genius screenwriting.
That like, was so good. Such a great like last shot of just like him like still being human, still being not even just being human, but like still being himself.
Yeah.
And just, like, physically transformed, but still himself on the inside. It was just such a, like, again, another touching moment where I was just like, wow, bitch, I'm in pain. This is emotional shit. Like, I feel for him.
Yeah.
I think he said 3 years because he wanted to go home and he wanted to, like, save his people. Like, I think something like that. And then he could come back.
Yeah.
So,
and I love that Willis like understood that. Like, you, I mean, he was upset at first, but he's like, at the same time, you gotta save your people, and I'm just one person. And I love Christopher's like 3 years. I promise. Like, I love that we don't know. The unanswered questions are a good because immediately afterwards, I think Eric was like, "Is this another one?" I was like, "No, Eric, this is it. There's no sequel." He's like, "Oh man." Like, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, you're right. Like, that's, you know, too much of a good thing can sometimes be too much. And, like, we really don't need 100 of these movies. Like, we can go through the questions ourselves and kind of, like, hypothesize and everything. And I think that's much more entertaining than trying to be, like, the whole, like, discourse back and forth that goes through, like, oh, you know, audiences now have no reading, no like comprehension skills. Like, they need to be spoon fed everything. Like, you know, someone needs to be monologuing in the corner for you to understand what's going on. Like, the end of Game of Thrones, it was just like monologue, because I can't do character development. So
I think that might be like an American problem. I think, like, well, he's not European, he's South African, but like I remember when I watched Skins and how. Or I was like, oh my God, I need more of these characters. But the writing is just what you need, gives you what you need. And then it doesn't give you the emotional reunion because that's not what that is. It's about like individual people and how they go through life. And like sometimes they weave into the other, sometimes they don't. And as much as I hate it, I was like, I actually prefer that. Because then I'm always thinking like, is Cassie going to meet up with Sid again? I don't know.
Yeah.
Are they going to meet back at the park? Like stuff like that. I think that's... Overfeeding us with too much information feels like an American thing.
Yeah. Right?
Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, we're just dumb Americans. We don't know shit. Like, we've been sheltered our whole lives. We're all the children left behind. So, like, you know.
Not left behind. Oh, no. Which, okay, So side note, so Left Behind, the, you know, the series of books. I didn't know there was a Left Behind kids. And I was like, what? I read the adult ones.
I remember.
Let me go lay down. I'll be right back.
I think my mother read those. I remember those being around the house.
Yikes.
So you got to start traumatizing them quickly, soon.
Got to start early.
Yeah, why show them VeggieTales when you can have Left Behind?
You know, that's one thing about today. We're not traumatizing our children early enough.
Maybe that's it. That's the solution right there.
But no, yeah. I was looking on Letterboxd and I saw a bunch of reviews, and a lot of people were like, the pacing was just so fast and it went blah, 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 and they were complaining about it. I was like, you're missing the entire point of it.
Yeah.
I hate them.
Like, if you need to watch it again, okay, go watch it again. Like,
I will hold your hand if you need me to, but then we're going to have a conversation about your comprehension skills.
I will not hold your hand. You don't get it, get out. Sorry. You're too dumb for me to associate with. X. No.
And she said, okay.
Mm-mm. Like, okay. There's a lot of things I don't understand, but that doesn't mean that it's not good. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, because a movie, also, it's maybe something I don't know, so maybe it's on me to educate myself on how movies work, or South Africa, or aliens, I don't know, something. Like, I'm sorry, you're dumb.
Google, how do aliens work?
I don't, again, who knows? You know, it's funny that you were talking about Left Behind just now. I was talking to Charlie, and she was like, because we're about talking about the Bible for some reason. And Charlie was like, yeah, I looked at the Bible. I skimmed through it, and I was like, because I wanted to know, like, the lore. And, like, it was just so boring.
Shut the fuck up. He's 11.
I love that.
I've never heard anyone refer to the Bible as the story's lore.
And then it's boring.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Oh my god. I love that for her.
It was just really boring. A lot of words, and like, they didn't make any sense. I don't know what version she was reading, but if it was like one of those,
the King James one.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, what? No one's gonna understand that. Sentence?
Where's the comma? Where's the period?
Anyway. It's just like 100 run-on sentences in one chapter. Yeah. It's all just like one prose.
Oh my god. Do you want to go through the categories?
Oh, yeah. What are they? Adapted screenplay. Oh, no.
Best picture.
Oh, best picture, yeah, though. Best picture!
Yes.
Absolutely!
100%.
Like, make this Hollywood. This is the movie I need. Not this other garbage. Whatever else. Also, I saw The Fall Guy. This should have been so good. It was awful.
Oh, no.
Really?
Yeah. It's like they had two jokes. Okay, three. And they just kept repeating them. And I was like, is this just an advertisement for, like, this stunt department's company? So it felt like a really long, like, the stunt sequences are really cool and great, but, like, it's interesting because Ryan Gosling, if you look at his box office, is the same number. I don't know the number because I forgot. But he makes the same amount of money when he leads a film, right? So, or even co-stars. So that's why Barbie was such a phenomenon, because, like, oh my gosh, he's the recognition, the movie made a lot of money, blah, 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 blah. And so the thought was, he's going to use his momentum to bring to this movie. No, the movie made the same amount that he did pre-Barbie. So it's like, it wasn't you, buddy. You were great, but it wasn't you that brought people to the theater, clearly. It's proof of the numbers. And it's weird because I've seen Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt be funny with each other way more often off camera, on the red carpet, interviews. None of that was in the movie. It was weird. Mm-hmm. And like, they don't have like romantic chemistry, they have friend chemistry. So I'm like supposed to believe that these friends are like pining after each other. It doesn't make any sense. Also, she's a cinematographer. Within like 2 years, she's a director. What?
Not based in reality whatsoever.
Which is fine. Like, it's stunts, but I don't know. It was awful. And I was like, I'm so mad I wasted. And then it's too long. It's like 2 hours and 100 minutes or something weird like that. I'm like, this is like, it should have been so good because they're so great.
I saw two really great films last week. I did a double feature on Discount Tuesdays.
Ooh.
I saw The TV Glow, and it is beautiful. It definitely, it didn't all hit me and really like all make sense and affect me until after I left the theater. Cause I was like, that was such a wild movie. And then I walked out and I was like, oh, but it was actually really beautiful. So beautiful. So heartbreaking, but so well done. And then I went and saw Ryuichi Yamaguchi's new movie, the guy who did Drive My Car.
Yeah.
I went and saw Evil Does Not Exist, which was very beautiful, like visually stunning. Ended on quite a twist. But it was good.
Were cars driven in this movie?
They were. but none of them were that adorable red car that I still dream about today.
That was so cute.
But yeah, it was. They were both very good movies. I still highly recommend both of them.
Don't see The Fall Guy. But see The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. That was pretty good.
That was pretty good. I saw that too.
I still want that shot of their hands out of the window with cigarettes in their fingers. Mm-hmm. I love that. That's a great shot. In my head, I have like this idea of like putting a bunch, like a collage wall of like different beautiful shots from films that I like a lot. That's one of them. Or like there's a shot in Black Panther where T'Challa is going to the astral plane. And it's a wide shot, and there's the tree, and he's really small, and then the beautiful, or the shot of the Banshees of Inisherin where his house is on fire and it's really small, and then you see mm-hmm. the beautiful water and it's dark, but the fire is so bright. Ah, there's a lot like that. But anyways,
so good, so good.
Anyways, next category.
Oh yes. Now, adapted screenplay.
I agree. Against... Yes, it should be here.
It's up against.
What's it up against?
One moment.
Oh, I got it.
I lost my spot.
Precious, An Education, In the Loop, and Up in the Air.
Sure.
Which we have.
Yeah, not of course.
Seen for the podcast yet? So, it's a clear winner at this point.
Yeah.
And I agree. It was a great script.
It was. It really was. Yeah. I can't find any real faults, any big errors in the script. So, yes. Why not? And visual effects.
Mm-hmm.
Which was up against Avatar and Star Trek.
Yeah, I agree. I'm really shocked that it wasn't nominated for any of the sound design.
Yeah.
Loud war movies usually are.
Hello. And the
offer is. Yeah, I was a little surprised by that.
But yeah, visual effects, I agree. It should be there.
Oh, for sure. I don't think there's any beating Avatar, because, like, wow. But it definitely deserves to be there.
Yeah, because, like we said with Avatar is, like, screensaver of the movie. Or did I say that? I don't remember. But that's what I thought.
Maybe, but
I think you did.
So it makes sense that won that award. Because it's screensaver the movie.
But yeah, it should definitely be in sound mixing for sure.
Agreed, yeah.
Can't believe it wasn't. And honestly, I don't know who played Christopher, but nominate them for acting.
Also, Neil Blomkamp. I think he directed this movie very well.
He directed the fuck out of this movie. Without his, you know, orchestrating everything, I don't think I think it could have gone. I think it wouldn't have hit as strongly if it didn't have like a good hand in it.
Yeah, and he was really good. He edited himself, which is hard to do sometimes. Oh. A la Avatar, where you just put all your ideas and like, oh, everything I thought of is amazing, so it's going to be fine. Well, no. Like, come on. And I think Neil Blomkamp did a better job of editing the film and himself and being able to be like, it doesn't need that even though I want it. Like, knowing what to cut, that's best for the film and not for himself.
Yeah.
Smart. And then, was that the categories, all of them, right?
Yes. Oh. There was only three.
No, there's four.
Oh. What did I miss?
Oh, film editing.
Film editing.
Oh, my bad. It's up against The Hurt Locker, Avatar, and Glorious Bastards and Precious. Well, this editing was great.
I think it was
fantastic.
Yeah.
I would say absolutely.
And, you know, I kind of think it was similar to 127 Hours and its quick cuts, but like effective cuts. Yeah. And cuts that made sense for the movie. This is a better movie, but yeah, I would agree. Film editing, for sure.
Yeah. Now that's all the categories. Should we do our rankings?
Oh my god, do you have them, Joy?
I do.
Wow, amazing. I have a feeling it'll all be the same, honestly.
Probably.
Yeah.
All right, who's going first?
I can.
Okay.
So number three, as you guessed it, District 9. No, The Blind Side. No, number three is The Blind Side. Number two is Avatar. And number one is District 9. Avi.
Same.
Same.
Yeah.
Wow, we're so original.
We're so interesting. That's what you should listen to us.
Three movies in. Give us some time.
Yeah, give us some time. And I feel like there's going to be a lot of mixing up, scrambling, shuffling in here. Yeah. Which is always fun. That's always the fun part. Like,
I love it when we disagree.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we're besties, obviously. So we have great taste.
What?
But occasionally, our tastes do not align, which is fine.
Yeah, like it's you fine. Not liking Anatomy of a Fall. Or Anna liking Three of Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
I didn't love it, but I liked it.
That's what I said. I said I liked.
No, but you're making it sound awful. Like, I'm awful.
Whatever. You're not I'll awful. The movie I'm was the awful. Worst.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's just
oh, and then also y'all liking Wolf of Wall Street and me hating it.
Oh yeah. Oh, that was an interesting one. You know what? I'm sorry. Martin Scorsese is really great. And while yeah, Jordan is not. While Jordan, whatever his name, is a piece of fucking trash.
I mean, yeah, he's great, but did you like Killers of the Flower Moon?
I did.
No. See?
She did. I did not.
That's right. I forgot about that part. Yeah.
I did. Actually, I was just, Benjamin was over here the other day and he wanted to watch it. And I was like, like, great film, but I'm gonna get really sad towards the middle of it. So, like,
yeah, but no? You can take a nap and it'll still be going, so you're fine. You can sleep a full 8 hours, it'll still be on.
I did love seeing Lily Gladstone on my TV again, but then I got really mad because of what happened.
Did you have you seen the True Detective or not True Detective? What's the
No.
The bridge.
Yeah, I started it. I need to finish it. It's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I need to watch it. I keep getting ads for it on Hulu. Every time I watch something on Hulu, it's like the first ad that pops up. So I need to watch it.
Oh my god, I will say that I love you, Joy, but I'm so happy that I'm using Anna's Hulu because she has no commercials. I've never known such joy. What a painful life.
You know what it is? It's because my Hulu, I got Hulu in a bundle with Spotify, and I can't change it to the no commercials option.
That's stupid.
For some fucking reason. I don't understand. But I got it, so whatever. I mean, commercials is just time for being on my phone, I guess.
No, but and also those are the worst because they'll be playing so loud and the show would be like combo volume. And I hate that. Like I'll be watching So You Think and I'm like, oh, I'll pee on the commercial. Oh no, commercials. Oh my god, let me pause. I'm excited.
I gotta be ready to like mute it. Yeah.
Yeah. So many times that I fall asleep on the couch and then I'm awoken by, hey, Burger King. BK, have it your way.
It's not like the commercials that we used to fall asleep to, like CD compilation of the most romantic songs, blah blah blah. See, that was nice and comforting, and falling asleep to that was great.
I love the one that was like pure moods, and it was like a lot of like European, Enya, like Enya, like, yes.
And what's her name? Bjork, something else, something like that. Yeah, that one was good. That one was a good one. What else movie wise have we disagreed on? Okay. Killers, Wolf of Wall Street, Billboards, what was Anatomy. The other one you said?
Anatomy.
I can't remember.
I'm sure there's a couple more in there.
I'm sure there's more. I gotta go through our catalog of stuff.
We've done, this is 2010.
Mm-hmm.
We've done, up until 2024 Oscars, we've done 14 years of Oscar movies.
That's wild.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Beats!
That's a lot of movies.
We've watched so many movies.
And I'm so excited for, like, another couple of years when they're mostly ones that none of us have seen.
Yes. Yeah.
Because we're about to hit that weird time where we were too young and they weren't good enough for us to have watched them now.
Or, like, not really, like,
not paying attention.
To watch either, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, not, like, watching.
Yeah.
I'm excited. There's some really, really good ones that we'll get to in, like, 10 years. There's some good stuff in there. Good stuff.
I'll come across a movie. I'm like, oh, I kind of want to watch that, but oh, it's nominated for Best Picture. I should probably wait. It was nominated for Best Picture in like 99 or whatever. Like,
yeah. It's going to be a while.
Not be ruined.
I had the same thought when I was like, oh, this movie was nominated for Best Picture in 1970. Oh.
I lost power for like,
I
lost power for like 5 minutes, but then that fucked up our internet the next day. So I didn't have internet for like an hour or so while they were working on it. So I was like, let me pop out my DVDs. And when my parents split, I inherited all of the DVDs that we had at the house.
Ooh.
So I was flipping through those binders of DVDs.
Yes.
And I was like, oh shit, we're coming up to a point where I might have some of these on DVD.
Oh my God.
That's right. Cause your dad was like a huge movie buff.
Yeah.
Or is, not was, sorry.
He's no longer.
He stopped watching movies.
I don't know.
He doesn't go to the theaters anymore.
His taste is pretty good, so I'm imagining he's still.
He's moved on to Korean dramas, like TV shows.
Love
really?
That.
That's so cute.
Love that.
It was like five or six years ago now that he was like, yeah, the only good movies to watch on Netflix or anywhere are the foreign ones. So that's all he watched. He watched a lot of Indian movies, a lot of a lot of weird, like, Eastern European films. Like, he got real into the foreign film. But anyway, so yeah, I have Up in the Air on DVD. So I can only imagine the years to come, I'm going to have more of them. So I need to start checking that resource.
When I moved, I don't know what happened, but my DVD player broke, which is fine. It was only like $20 when I bought it. So it's not a big loss. But I'm like, oh, now I can't watch any of the movies. I'm like sad. Although I don't even know that it will connect to this new TV anyway. So I probably have to get it like a Blu-ray player or whatever. But yeah, I DVDs are like, I almost want to start buying physical media again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it feels like it's going away forever. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've seen what happens now when... And it's crazy we never thought about that. Like,
right?
The streaming services aren't going to be forever, and they're not going to... Like, I don't know. You would think that a Netflix original would just always be on Netflix. And now right, that's like they weren't gonna not always the case.
Yeah, it's a transitional. That was weird. I said that like scattered. There's there's a definite shift in Hollywood and you know in how we consume media and how they provide it to us. And it's very interesting times for that for sure. But anyways,
yeah.
Okay, I think we should probably go because Joy just yawned and I saw her entire, like, through her entire throat. So, like, yeah, like her jaw unhinged and I think I saw, like, her brain maybe? I don't know.
What's left of it in there?
The point is we're concerned, so we're going to end it here.
I'm going to fall asleep on the call if we keep going, yes.
Okay, all right. Well, have a good day. Bye, and subscribe.
Love you, bye.
Bye.
Bye.